Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
You know you could use a vacation right now. I could. I mean, honestly. So consider Little Rock for your first trip of 2021. With 6 stops on the U.S. Civil Rights Trail and dozens of Black-owned businesses and restaurants just waiting to serve you, it's the kind of place where Black History Month is celebrated all year long. So if you're big on Black culture and you're going to be big on Little Rock, plan your visit today at littlerock.com. It's a new year, and it's time for new possibilities, and do we ever need them? Cricket Wireless can help you make the easy switch to the mobile plan that's right for you, starting at $30 a month. Smile and switch to Cricket. Activation and other fees and restrictions apply. Terms subject to change. See store for details.
We chose her cause she's sweet as pie. Take what you give, even your lies. But baby, are you happy without me? She scrubs your back, washes your clothes, gives you everything that you ask for. But do you ever want more? Cause my love, my love is deeper, tighter, sweeter, higher, flyer. Didn't you know this? Why didn't you notice? My love, my love.
It's a little Jill Scott.
Yes, indeed.
Do you, Jill Scott?
Not particularly.
I didn't think. But, something told me in your facial expressions that you did Jill Scott.
I mean, I know who she is and I know that song, but I'm not like, you know, I don't reach for her.
Not I know who she is.
It's not my scene, so to speak. You know, I have a lot of respect for her and I know that she is a gift and a, you know, an absolute treasure and wealth of our culture and our time. But I can really say that I've never really just got in the car or came home and said, I want to listen to some Jill Scott.
I feel something said Kia either really Jill Scott's or she doesn't really Jill Scott at all. Something in my spirit. Just it's one hard yes or no. I'm dying at you saying I know who she is.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I have a lot of respect for her as a person, as a Black woman. I think she's extremely talented, but I just, you know.
I'm with the shits. Well, praise the Lord.
With all due respect.
Yes, respect.
Yeah, praise the Lord, everybody.
What's going on?
Welcome back. Welcome back, man. We're here to talk about the ghettos of adulting.
We are.
The worst hood we have ever, ever, ever endeavored to live in. The good, the bad, the ugly, the tested trials. The twists, the turns, the temptations, the taxes, and the tries of being a real live adult in the year of our Lord 2021.
2021. I said that earlier. Shut up. What's your homegirl's name again?
2021. Rayma. Rayma said that there was there was an old Jamaican deacon at the church that got up and said something about in the year 2021. And so that's like a thing. So now I just can't stop saying 2021. No, 2021.
It's a great gift that Rayma gave us because I definitely used it earlier. So thanks, Rayma.
2021.
What's going on, sis? What's the update? How are you?
I am here. I'm doing okay. I am working And learning, you know, been doing lots of work, like, you know, professionally, but also been spending some good quality time sitting with myself, thinking about things, noticing some growth. I was talking to Fran a little bit earlier on text message, like how like self-work is really labor intensive when you're working on yourself, when you're trying to, you know, think critically and reflect on like your ways, your whys, you know, how you're navigating certain things, trying to improve your systems. It is really, really important and necessary work, but it does take a lot out of you.
Yeah, it
does. So I've been doing a lot of thinking and reflecting on why my reactions and responses are what they are, and thinking about what I can do to kind of improve and grow and continue to get better. And this is all important work that has to be done. It's just really emotionally and physically and mentally taxing.
I know.
But it's a gift, man. It's a gift to do it. And trying to grow and get better. It's always a gift to grow.
It is. Even when it doesn't feel like it, you end up seeing it, you know, later on.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that we as millennials, I think that's an area where we shine in terms of like questioning convention and not just doing things because tradition says so. And that's not to be disrespectful to tradition. But, you know, I think that it's important, like, you know, interrogation and criticism doesn't always mean, you know, hatred and just a lack of respect. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need to reassess and think about, you know, think about things in terms of their utility and whether or not we can be doing things more effectively. And I think our generation is shining and pushing in that area as we push back some of the norms and traditions and conventions of our culture and time. You know, even some of our practices, how we relate to ourselves, how we relate to our families, you know, the ways in which our traditions and families have shaped our lives and shaped our trauma and all that other stuff, and trying to do better for the future. So that's where I am. I know it's really thoughtful and deep. I'm sorry.
No, do not apologize for doing self-work, please.
I'm just kind of in that space. I'm just in this house by myself, child, trying to enjoy myself since I'm in here by myself, I mean, girl.
That's all that can be done right now, actually. Sometimes you sit in your room and you stare at the wall, and in the back of your mind,
hear your conscience. Say, hey, girl, let's have a chat about some things.
LL Cool J don't know he was on to with that line.
You know what I'm saying? So. Talk about why you do that. Why did you do that?
To be better. But I'm proud of you. That's hard work. It's hard work to.
I just want to be better.
It's hard work. It ain't easy work to get there, but it's work and it's fruitful work. And so I love to see it. I applaud it. I know it ain't easy. Well, you know, we have a little trash to get into, and I know it's been heaviness.
Well, you didn't tell me how you're doing.
Oh,
you didn't tell me how you're doing.
I'm great.
So let's, before we get into the trash.
I'm great. I too am doing my own self-work, and it has been, let me tell you all, my purge did exactly what I needed it to do. I wake up in the mornings and I'm, how rude. Let me explain. Okay.
That's fine.
Let me just do a little, let me just tangent real quick because that's my heater. When y'all hear the shh come through, that's the heater. It's an old Brooklyn building. It's been here since like 1951. And so, you know, they came and fixed all the valves and told me that it wasn't going to be as loud as it once was. Until I realize it is louder. So, you know, for anybody who may be wondering what that annoying white noise is in the back, old building heater can't do nothing about it. Anyway.
Yeah. Jade's not in the shower.
No.
She's just sitting by
her. Not right now.
Shout out to, I've been seeing Noah all over my timeline here recently. I saw that amazing ad that we did with Franiqua.
Yes.
And I saw what you posted today, her little Black History Project about Mae Jemison, I thought was excellent.
She did just so excellent. Did she not do so good?
I mean, we stand the talent. We stand the gift.
We
that is ASAP Noah.
My cousin put together a really beautiful Zoom for a bunch of the kids in the family. It was like 19 kids. And she put it in that, you know, extended family, friends, and all of that. And they all did beautifully. So everybody had to pick a figure. and they did a presentation however they chose to do it, and then she combined all of them into one long presentation. And my little cousin Sky did opening credits, like she made them look like movie credits. It was the cutest thing in the world. So Noah chose Mae Jemison. We set, we researched her, and then put together a little cohesive something. And she was like, okay, I'm ready. And she killed it.
I love it.
Killed it. So yes, your niece has been very booked and busy.
We love to see it.
Very booked and busy. But that's what I've been doing, being a stage mom, in addition to, you know, actually also working. So I'm tired, but I have no complaints. It's beautiful. Like, I don't push her to do anything. And I love that whatever she does it the way that she wants to do it. And it's very Noah-esque. It's very ASAP. So
it's so good.
I'm lucky to have her. I really am, to experience her.
She's a natural talent.
She is, sis. And I'm lucky for my tribe. But we got trash. Yeah, let's head on over to the trash.
Yes. Let's get into it.
Okay. So I wanted to keep the trash light. I want the episode to be light because it is the very top of Women's History Month. And, you know, we are coming off of Black History Month, which is actually all the time. Let's be very clear. It does not end with February. But we did want to keep the trash light and shout out some beautiful Black women who have been in our social medias and so forth and so on in the last couple days. So I'm not even going to ask you because I know you didn't, but the Golden Globes, they came on.
I was aware that they were on, same, but I did not watch anything.
Also as well.
But yes.
You all can see a pattern here getting grown. We cover things that we don't watch. What we do is pay attention to the beautiful Black faces that are attached to these different events. And so shout out to Andra Day, who is the second Black woman to win a Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Drama. And we know the first woman was Whoopi Goldberg in The Color Purple. 35 years ago.
Wow.
I want to say Color Purple came out 85, maybe, something like that.
Yeah,
but 35 years ago. So she is the second Black woman, so shout out to her. But so much controversy surrounding the Golden Globes. Y'all got to do better with your representation at the table, but that's another situation. If you want to know more about that, there's a beautiful article on theroot.com. But shout out to Andra Day. And, you know, we're just going to pardon social distancing for 5 seconds and acknowledge the amazing Black woman moment between her and Regina King.
I mean, Regina was masked.
She was.
But it's fine.
And we don't know if they're vaccinated. You know, they followed all testing protocols. That's not what we're here for right now. Right now, we're here to celebrate the beautiful Black girl moment that happened between Regina King as she went to go celebrate Andra Day. Which is such a monumental moment. You know what I'm saying? That's such a dope moment for Andra to win, and also just to see the pure celebration and support of such a well-respected freaking queen. You know what I'm saying? We all love Regina. We all love Regina King. She's just everything to us.
Yes, indeed.
And some of the other, you know, gorgeous fashions and beautiful Black faces that graced us via the elevator and different things. Kiki Palmer showed up in a little Josephine Baker-esque situation.
Very nice.
Yes, very cute. It was like a little short situation with... You saw it?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did.
You should see Kia's face.
No, what? I did see it.
Viola Davis looked like a beautiful mermaid. She did. She looked like a beautiful mermaid of the diaspora. Laverne Cox came through with a sensual coif, just a nice little braided number. She just looked real. It was just like soft and beautiful. I was like, this is just ethereal.
Actually quite stunning. Quite stunning.
Jackson and Satchel Lee, children of Spike Lee, they're making their own waves in Hollywood. I know you were like, okay, now who is that now? Like,
I'm sorry.
Angela Bassett came through with an eggplant number. okay? And always it was everything. Regina King. Because mm-hmm. Black people, we get dressed up. That's what we do. You know what I'm saying? When it calls for it. Jonathan Baptiste. Okay. I have to shout out Jonathan Baptiste because so I met him first when I used to work at Dizzy's at the club. Such a beautiful spirit, such a warm, nice human being. And to see him just come up in this way. So he also won a Golden Globe for Soul. He did the soundtrack for Soul.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Jazz musician out of New Orleans, from New Orleans. Just a dope, dope, dope guy. And it's beautiful to see people like that, you know, come up. People that you know come up like that. So I want to shout out Jonathan. And there were so many more. There were so many other looks. Tiffany Haddish has this. I love her bald head right now, actually. I think it looks great on her. She had a beautiful dress on. Susan Kalici, you know, from This mm-hmm. Is Us, or should we say The Beth and Randall Show. And then Andra Day, she looked beautiful. So shout out to all the blacks. And Jane Fonda as well.
So I saw Cynthia Erivo. She gave a little, it was like a black Judy Jetson.
Yeah, I saw it.
Vibe.
I chose not to say
okay,
it.
That's fair.
You know how they tell you, if you see something, say something. Sometimes if you see something, you don't need to say nothing.
You know, it wasn't my cup of tea, but I wouldn't say that it was horrible.
I was following mother's advice. That's all.
That's fine. And that's your choice. That's your choice.
But yes, I did see it. And it was
all right. Period. Very so nice.
But is that the trash that I did? Oh, no. Oh, I thought this was so dope. Okay. Especially on, you know, the brink of Women's History Month and Black History Month merged together. Ruth E. Carter made history as the first Black costume designer to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So I thought that was really, really dope. I was like, I love to see Black women just getting their things.
That's the lady from, I'm going to be wrong.
She did. She worked.
She did.
With Do the Right Thing and Black Panther.
Okay. Yeah. Black Panther. Yes. That's why I was afraid that I was going to be wrong. But yes, I felt like that. She's won. Did she win an Oscar or a Screen Actors Guild Award? She got best costume for
Black Panther.
Black Panther. Yeah.
Ooh, as she should have. But I'm really, really happy to see. I'm really happy to see people who should be receiving their things get them. I think that's
Chadwick Boseman's wife made a wonderful speech in his absence.
My bad.
Like posthumously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it was moving. And I still haven't watched that Ma Rainey movie, but I need to. I'm actually going to put that on.
So I haven't either.
Bump that up on my to-do list.
I'm sad. I'm really sad, and I'm kind of...
Yeah, I have been kind of putting it off because I know that, you know, seeing him on screen is going to be like... I actually haven't watched Black Panther or anything.
Well, you know, and this has nothing to do with Chadwick. I think that I watched Black Panther enough for like 3 lifetimes. I probably will watch it again.
I have these weird sort of like stints where I'll just watch it over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I think like right after he passed, I had a couple of days where I watched it, but then I had to have like a hard stop because I really found, I don't know, I think we talked about it here, but I found myself grieving.
Yeah.
Chadwick, like I knew him personally.
Yeah. Yes.
And that was intense. Yes.
It was. I was really sad for Chadwick. Like Chadwick, because it was unexpected for us. It was, you know, we didn't know what he was dealing with, and rightfully so. But it was just kind of sudden for, I think, you know, for us as the public. And yeah, it's just kind of hard because he was at his peak. He was doing his thing. It's just sad. It's just sad and still kind of shocking and unbelievable, to be perfectly honest. But that's our trash this week. I wanted it to be positive. You know, I wanted to focus on positive women and Black women who were doing some things at the Golden Globe. And outside of that, you know, not much else was positive in the news. So we're going to just let you all read that on your own.
Fair enough.
But we do have a shout out to get to, so we should do that.
My sister's popping right now.
All right. It's I guess the overall overtone of the show this week is in celebration of National Black Girls Appreciation Day. Mm-hmm. This Girl Trek, a Washington, D.C. based nonprofit health movement for Black females, last year dubbed March 1st as Black Women's Appreciation Day. And they promoted the idea with the hashtag Thank a Black Woman. The social media campaign asked Black women and allies to post thank yous on the internet with love letters, videos, and other posts that highlight appreciation of Black women. Essentially, the founder of Vanessa Garrison, you know, pushed the movement because, you know, Black women bear a disproportionate burden of the responsibility in households and in communities. And oftentimes, as it's been discussed in a lot of, you know, places, women's history tends to center, you know, conventional actions and activities, Women's History Month, and kind of conventional feminism centers whiteness, white women's perspectives and their contributions. And so, you know, there have been scholars and thinkers and Black women throughout history who have been really vocal about the need to center and celebrate Black women. And so building upon the intersection of Black History Month and Women's History Month, March 1st was designated as National Black Women's Appreciation Day last year. And so we wanted to keep that energy going. And the shout out the shout out for this episode, you know, carries on in that very same vein. So I wanted to shout out Black Girl Holidays, which is a content calendar that was created by Patrice Camon, who is a local content creator. And she also owns a co-working space in the DMV area, specifically in PG County. And she created this Black Girl Holidays. It's a content calendar that lists out 450 plus Black women related events, milestones, birthdays, coloring pages for every day of the year. The calendar is wholly founded and created, designed, and protected by Black women. The designer, Cherie Savage from Detroit, the researchers, Dayana Burns and Brianna Head, are based in the DMV, and the attorney on the team is Rita Cena, who is out of Orlando, Florida. So there are certain dates, key dates, are highlighted throughout the book. For example, Black Girl Magic Day of February 15th. Black Women's Appreciation Day, which is March 1st. Celebrate Your Name Day, which is March 9th. International Day Against Police Brutality, which is March 15th. National Stress Awareness Day, which is April 16th. Fantasia won American Idol on May 26th. Black Women's Equal Pay Day on August 13th. Countless other premieres, fun facts, birthdays, mm-hmm. highlighting the lives and contributions of Black women. Mm-hmm. Black women are everything. This calendar was created because nothing like it existed in the world. There was not a content calendar or any central place where all of these key events and milestones and contributions of Black women were organized. And so Patrice and her team put it together. It was released on January 19th, the day before we inaugurated our first woman, first Black American, first South Asian American Vice President, Kamala Harris. And Black Girl Holidays goes beyond convenience. It is about representation. It is about making sure that Black women content creators and content creators all over the world have access to the information mm-hmm. that will position them to highlight Black women in very intentional ways. And so Black women continue to be severely underrepresented in management positions across all sectors, holding only 4% of management jobs compared to 32% held by white women. Mm-hmm. Black women represent 42% of new women-owned businesses, three times their share of the female population, and 36% of all Black-owned employer businesses. And that's according to Forbes. So these this calendar not only includes those kinds of dates and milestones, but also that kind of information. And Patrice, I just wanted to celebrate Patrice and her team because I think that the Black Girl Holiday content calendar is an amazing resource for content creators, bloggers, podcasters, anyone has a large, I mean, you know, anyone who has any sort of platform, but especially platforms that speak to, you know, the needs, lifestyles, experiences of Black women, because, it's just a mechanism for us to sort of continue to ring the alarm and spread the word that lets other people know that we have, this is how we celebrate ourselves. This is how we raise our children to celebrate themselves, because that's the kind of empowerment that keeps our success and productivity alive. So specifically for our listeners, you can get your own Black Girl Holidays calendar. You can order a beautiful spiral print copy, or you can get a digital download. Both are available for sale at www.blackgirlholidays.com. You can use the code BGHGROWN and you can get 10% off of yours today. It is very affordable. I have one. This is not going to break your bank, but it is an investment that if you're a content creator, it's going to yield a very large return for you. I have a copy. It's beautifully illustrated. It's very practical. It comes with all kinds of, notes and place cards. You can actually use it as a notebook that helps you to plan out your regularly scheduled content around these highlighted days and events. Mm-hmm. I love it. I have used it for Team Typing Fast. We will be using it, and we've also used it to inform some of our production for Getting Grown.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an awesome tool. And when Patrice reached out and shared it with me, I knew immediately that I was going to share it with you guys. And I think that it's just something you need to see and be a part of. I made a note here. I'm actually going to talk to Chris to make sure that he posted on Instagram as well. There is a Black Girl Holiday Instagram page. I want you guys to check it out. Either way, this is our shout out for the day. We want to center and feature the Black Girl Holidays content calendar. It is something that you don't want to miss, especially if you are a content creator. If you do any sort of programming, whether it's digital or in person at your job, you want to let people know this is how we celebrate ourselves. This is how we make sure that our needs and perspectives, our issues, the people who we want to celebrate and highlight, that they are also integrated into mainstream conversation.
That's so
shout out to Patrice and her team of Black women. Yeah, shout out. It's a whole team of Black women that put this together, and they did it really quickly. And I just love it. So I just wanted to make sure that we highlight it here on Getting Grown, because that's what we do.
That's what we do. Shout out. We do use it for Getting Grown, but I'm going to get one for my personal use. Thank you so much. I need it.
Oh, yes.
I need it in my life. Okay, well, we have a kitchen table, which is going to be fun. So let's go over there.
Yeah.
Sick of the same old breakfast? Here's something new. Just Egg scrambles, cooks, and tastes just like the eggs you're used to, but it's made from plants. Just Egg is protein packed, but with less saturated fat and no cholesterol. If you have 2 chicken eggs with breakfast, that's already 124% of your recommended cholesterol for the day. The science is pretty clear. Plant-based diets can have a dramatic improvement in everything from heart health to life longevity. Just Egg tastes and cooks just like conventional eggs. Put it in an omelet, scramble, French toast, banana bread, pad thai, whatever you like to do with eggs. Just Egg is also better for the planet, using 93% fewer carbon emissions and 98% less water than a conventional egg. It takes 53 gallons of water to produce a single egg. Yes, 53 gallons. Run your bath water and see how long it takes you to fill up 53 gallons. So I've told you all already twice how I feel about Just Egg. This time I won't tell you that I feel weird about it anymore, because I've already done it too many times and it's been great. I substituted Just Egg for conventional eggs in my fried rice. I also substituted and made an omelet and added some peppers. I added some sausage. I don't really care if it's not It's what I did. It's what I chose to do. It's my business. But I did that and had an omelet and it tasted delicious. So Just Egg is where it's at, okay? And I get to cut my cholesterol at the same time. You can find Just Egg pretty much anywhere at most grocery stores, including Whole Foods, Walmart, and Kroger, and on Amazon Prime Now or Instacart. Just Egg, a better egg for you and your family. Thank you, Just Egg. It's a great product and from a company with a great mission.
All right, guys. Another great show for you guys to check out. Built to Last is a podcast by American Express that highlights the stories, history, and continued legacy of Black-owned small businesses that shape American culture. If you haven't already, check out the debut season of Built to Last and hear host Elaine Welteroth explore how the Black business leaders of our past have inspired today's Black-owned small businesses. The season features small business owners like Pinky Cole of Atlanta's food truck-turned-restaurant Slutty Vegan, Hanifa Mwemba, a cutting-edge designer, and so many other amazing small business owners. Plus, there's a special check-in with modern-day Renaissance woman, Issa Rae. Hey, Issa! As Built to Last uncovers and celebrates past and present stories of Black entrepreneurship in America, we hope to encourage all of our listeners to support these businesses and also the Black-owned businesses in your community. Check out the debut season of Built to Last on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's time for the kitchen table. And Kia and I wanted to keep it light this week and actually asked you all to get involved as well. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But we wanted to talk about just some of our favorite things, our joys of being Black women in the beginning of Women's History Month. So I'm going to start off by asking you, sister, what are some of your favorite things about being a Black woman?
You know, I say all the time that I am just very grateful that the Lord, when he was putting me together, he made me a Black woman. I wouldn't want to be any other thing in the whole wide world. I just am grateful. There are certain, and I mean, I know that y'all think that I'm playing, but there are times when I just will literally just be like, whoo, thank God. Like, I would just say, thank God. A lot of times when I go to the gym and when I see other people in their leggings, I just want to say, Lord, I want to thank you, okay? Because you did not have to do it, but you did, okay? When I see other people, and I'm like, my God, what if my backside looked like that? My God, I want to thank you.
It's been a long ass day.
Woo, Jesus. I am grateful, and not just because of those sort of physical things, you know what I'm saying? When I see the way that we age, when I see the way that we get better and more refined, how we care for ourselves, the way that our bodies are built to be strong and to endure difficult things with grace and softness and style. I think I just am grateful because there's lots of people out here who age like sour cream, okay? And they just
bananas in pajamas.
Woo! I mean, and avocados, they just are out here. And then people who are younger than me, who look older than me. And so in light of these actual facts, I often just give God the glory for making me how he made me, okay?
Listen.
But on a deeper note, there are things that I have come to really appreciate and value and celebrate about being a Black woman that I think are just a part of who we are, regardless of how we were brought up across the diaspora, you know, near and far, across generational gaps and differences. There are things that are inherent to Black women. Some of them are fun. Some of them are fun and contribute to our, you know, sense of approach and how we kind of show up and how we finesse certain things. Others are deeper, more substantive, but, you know, still just as important as the former. But when I'm thinking about these things, the things that come to mind are like, you know, there are certain verbal and nonverbal universal truths about Black women and how we communicate that, you know, like I said, you know, they transcend generational mm-hmm. divides, and they transcend, you know, differences in the world across the diaspora. And I mean, it is when I say sometimes it's verbal, sometimes it's nonverbal. I can be anywhere in the world, and if I say, every Black woman in the world, in the room knows what I mean. If I say, and you know what else? If I say, everybody knows. We all are on the same page. Now, y'all know exactly what I'm mm-hmm. talking about, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There's just something that comes naturally to us, right? We can just, the way that we can look at each other and say nothing, but be reading and communicating with one another. Like, like we don't even have to.
In many ways, I think I mean,
it happens and it just shows up. Like you said, it is expressed so differently, but it is etched into who we are. It is a part of our DNA. It is our thumbprint. It is our contribution to the world. And that's a gift. I think that we have an inherent ability to create, to make something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, thinking about how even last week when we were talking about like soul food traditionally, and even some of our cultural, you know, even beyond sort of like Black American culture, but even in other cultures, we can take literal scraps or nothing, mm-hmm. you know, like we can take anything mm-hmm. and make it delicious and make it beautiful. That's not just in food, but sometimes in clothing. You know, we don't have to have a lot in order to make beautiful, substantial, important things. And I think that has been something that's a trademark of who we are. We have been able to create wealth where we haven't been handed or given anything mm-hmm. in this country, but we have created and established our place and literally created it out of nothing.
Absolutely.
And I think that is something that is you know, amazing about being a Black woman. I think Black women are natural trendsetters. I think people emulate us and they don't even realize that's what they're doing. White girls, you know, took cornrows and called them boxer braids.
They know exactly what they're doing.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like the things, you know, I mean, the people are getting, the people are spending thousands of dollars to shape and transform their bodies into how we are naturally configured.
Faces.
We
faces
are natural trend.
Faces.
I mean, hair. Mm-hmm. I mean, we transform everything we touch, we transform it and we take it and make it new and make it to the extent that people are now emulating and recreating what we do.
We so dope. These niggas came up with a new term, transracial. I said, oh
God.
All right. Well,
they want to be us so bad. They want to be us
and
so
catchy.
Bad. but yeah, also, I mean, my list is, I'll shut up because I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking, but I think Black women are natural cheerleaders and coaches.
Oh my God.
I think there's something, and we compliment one another in ways that we don't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, I talk about this all the time, but like, you know, instead, we don't have, you. I can say, okay, polka dot,
yes.
Okay, red lip.
We
can find a reason to celebrate anybody, mm-hmm. you know? And I think, and we're also natural coaches. We teach and train each other without even trying. It is actually how we retain each other. We actually extend our productivity by helping to reach back and, you know, the way that we come together and form community and share information and resources is something that people are trying to do. Mm-hmm. People go and pay money to learn how to create communities of practice. And every Black woman friend groups I've ever been associated with across my, you know, academic and professional life has mm-hmm. been a community of practice.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I mean, people have showed me how to be who I am and still be myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's no, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. And I'm not saying that this is not, you know, this is, and I recognize that this has become an industry now. But, you know, used to be a time where, you know, it didn't cost you nothing to get some, you know, to reach your hand back mm-hmm. and help the next person. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a price tag. It wasn't, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. But like, you know, before we were paying business coaches and professional coaches and dating coaches. You could just, you know, call up your girlfriend and get the tea.
Word.
Because that is something that comes very natural. I think that's a part of who we are as Black women. I feel like I've done a lot of talking. What are some of the things on your list, sis?
Sis,
what are your favorite things?
You're absolutely fine. First of all, I'm dying at how we need such little words to communicate, even via the internet.
That's so true.
During the
girl, because all we have to say is girl,
girl, just a look. During the Keisha Cole versus, I posted a Tyra gif where she was sitting on the panel and she just like kind of did like a once over. I said nothing. I put no caption. I put no nothing. A barrage of comments from Black women was like, please stop. Don't you start. Because they knew exactly what I was doing or what
it's
I meant.
So good.
And I think that minimal communication actually speaks volumes as to how connected we are. And I love how connected we are. I love how diverse we are. I love how diverse we are, not just in appearance or how we can switch up our hair, even though that is amazing.
A gift,
you know,
right?
The fact that we can braid our hair up and it doesn't rip one up out of the scalp and things like that. You know what I'm saying? We can play around. We can be curly. We can be straight. We can do whatever we want with it. And it's, you know, as long as you do it in a healthy manner, it's resilient. Mm-hmm. But not even in that way. I love how diverse we are in spirituality and in personalities and, you know, experiences. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You might have somebody from Milwaukee and then you've got somebody else over here from Brooklyn and then you got somebody from LA and there's still this intertwined, beautiful foundation of being a Black girl where there are certain things that can be understood across the board. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that that's beautiful. Our sisterhood, I think about my own village of women in my life and how key they are to my life. You know, how they teach me things. I teach them things. They're there for me. I'm there for them. And it is an ecosystem and it's beautiful. It's beautiful the way that works. And they are truly my sisters. They are my chosen sisters. Then that's not to take away from my relationship with my blood sister, but those chosen sisters, like that sisterhood is a real thing. I love our humor. And how the smallest things can be, we find them so funny because we understand them. I want to say, I feel like I met her maybe at one of your Team Typing Fast events, Alicia Cheek PhD on Instagram.
Yes.
Somebody sent me her Instagram post today where she was talking about all, you know, Black people say Lemmy by getting off the phone. It'd be like, well, let me go feed these kids. Let me go watch TV with this nigga. She said, let me go sell this weed. She said, it was a whole number of things, but it was hilarious. So I love how our humor is so simple, but it's so understood. So that's just a few things that I love about being a Black woman. But we have a number of responses that we received on the Twitter from other beautiful Black women. Did you receive some? Do you want to read some?
Sure, I can.
Okay, and I can read some as well.
Yes, we've got tons, loads and loads of responses here. Friend to the show and sister in my real life, Felicia Commodore, Dr. Commodore.
Hey, Felicia.
Says that she, yes, Dr. Commodore says that she loves our sensibility most of the time. LOL. She says we have a unique relationship with our we have a unique relationship with our intuition that helps us move about the world with a way of knowing that, in her opinion, is unmatched. Also, the sisterhood ain't nothing like Black girls' sisterhood. Absolutely.
Let me tell you something. That intuition unmatched, that is a word, because I can literally sit
very
here and Raven Simone myself, but like back, and say, oh, you know, I knew that was a bad idea and I went through with it and I saw how it kicked my ass. Like we have to listen to our first minds. We have to listen to our guts because they do not lie. keep going. I love that.
Absolutely. Cinnabon, who I don't want to butcher the name, but it's at Bon Ciojo. She says, we are incapable of being bland.
Yes.
In any aspect of our lives, even our bare minimum selves at rest are full of flavor. That's another thing I'm very grateful for, because when I sometimes see and have even experienced, you know, the cooking traditions of other cultures, I thank God that I grew up in a place where good tasting food was of utmost priority.
Absolutely. We did not play nasty food.
And I know that she was talking about more than food.
Yes, she was.
Yes, I know she was talking about more than food, but just saying full of flavor just made me be like, I'm glad, because, you know, everybody's not able. They don't know how to season up the seasonings like we do.
And also, it's so funny she said that and you say that. So you know that the internet, and you know, they're the algorithm, they're gonna put the white kids before they put the black kids, whether it be TikTok, whatever, right? So our kids are just exposed to the same shit we were, just a level of just whiteness that's thrown in their faces. So Noah would be watching her little TikTok YouTube streams, you know, where she wants to watch a series of dances, and obviously they're gonna show all the white ones first. And me and Tristan be like, you see how the black people, you see the sauce that we have as a people. You see how it's like, period. It's sauce on how we, you see how it just looks different. Like, we want you to celebrate that. We want you to.
Listen. That's right.
I know, Cookie. You see how they do? Can you close my door, though, please? Okay. All right. Miss. No, close. Okay, can you close this, please? Can you? I'm not playing now. Oh, we're gonna fight. close the door.
This is real time parenting, ladies and gentlemen. This is happening.
Yeah, it is. Yes, that's real time parenting. But yes, please continue with the tweets. I'll read some after you.
Okay. Courtney the Great says, being a black woman in this world means being resilient, versatile, and innovative. We are the beginning of everything. The beginning of life, all fashion trends, hair trends, culture, radical love, and everything in between. I love being a black woman because I love being infinite.
Yes. Oh, that was one of my favorite responses. I thought that was dope.
For sure.
Well, Christmas time. That's Christmas time. Says, our style, our way of telling stories, the occasional mental telepathy you have with the only other sister in the room. You can literally communicate with your eyes without saying a word if need be. That's it. And if you know what it means, a laugh, frown, or eye roll. We always know what it means. Oh, we yes. always know what it means. There was a lot of how we compliment each other. How we smell good.
Oh, yeah.
We actually had a GGB enter the chat, actually.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. And he says, I am not a black woman, but my sister and mom are. And I love how y'all can get someone together and nurture them in the same breath.
It's a gift.
And y'all are so smooth about it.
Everybody's not able.
Never a curse. My mom could give me a tongue lashing, but then turn around, give me understanding as to why I needed it. And if I could add one more, black women are effortlessly funny. Okay, that's all. I'm not trying to monopolize y'all's space.
That's good. Thank you, sir.
And that's from my own idol 22.
I love it. There was also,
what else you got over there?
There are lots of folks talking about hair was a big thing. The way that we can look different every day, and it not being like a big thing. The versatility, like hair, clothes, makeup, I can look like a different person every day of the week if I wanted to and look damn good doing it. Absolutely. How we compliment each other, walking around Essence Fest was like a bath bomb of compliments. It's nothing like okay, I see you. Come through eyebrows from another black woman to raise your confidence and make you feel loved.
I love Hustlin' Homegirl says, I love how black women innovate without thinking about it. We are the prototype, and all we're doing is being our natural selves. I love how our style, grace, syntax, and demeanor invites others to covet us. We're just so dope.
Come on, syntax. Absolutely. Because sometimes it's just inflection, right? We can say one word 50 different kinds of ways, and all of that is understood. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, for sure, mm-hmm. for sure. So good.
I love these responses. I love how there's so many of the same ones are compliments. That shows you the unity and how we feel about being black women and how we feel about other black women. I love it. Yes, Felicia. But we just wanted to have a small, quick discussion on what we love about being black. You know, we could go on about this for days, but I think we're going to extend this through the month and through the rest of our lives.
I think honestly, it should be good. And we would love to continue to, I love reading y'all's comments. So keep them coming.
Yeah.
And I think it would be good to kind of keep the celebration up throughout the rest of the month at the very least, but you know, just make it into practice and self-care. What are the things that you're grateful for? When it comes to yourself, right?
Absolutely. And we're going to have some dope black women on the show this month. We're gonna have some dope guests coming through this month and some good announcements. So I'm really excited. But we're gonna skip the honesty box this week. However, continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com and we'll go right on over to Black Women Self Care.
Yay, yay.
I deserve.
All right. This week in Black Women Self Care. I don't know. I know what you're going to say, but just let me do this. After much thought and reflection and prayer and consultation with my family and my loved ones, I decided to get the COVID vaccine. I got vaccinated yesterday, my first dose of the vaccine yesterday.
Congratulations.
And you know, I'm it was a decision. You guys know that I have immune. I have RA, so you know my immune system is compromised and all of that. And so it was a thoughtful decision I had to make with my doctors. And you know, after much research and debate and everything, it just seemed to be the best thing that was in my best interest. And I also haven't seen my family, but thankfully my grandparents, they have both been vaccinated. And my mom got her first dose this weekend as well. So hopefully once we get everybody in the household vaccinated, I can make some plans to go and see them. I have not seen them in over a year.
And that'll be beautiful.
We all just kind of agreed that we would do it together and we're going to trust God together that we're going to, you know, he's going to continue to keep us safe and well. Just do your research, and it is a decision that you can make for yourself. You know, there's more and more information becoming available every day. It is something that you can make, you know, with the under the consultation of your healthcare providers and just consulting your family and loved ones. And this was a choice that that I made as far as myself and my family. And you know, if it's something that you want to do, thankfully, more and more vaccines are becoming available. So. Pay attention to the information as it comes out in your state, and hopefully you can make the provision. Get things in order, such that if that's something that you want to do, it's something that you can take advantage of. So that's my Black woman self care.
Absolutely, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for people getting the opportunity to. Really just see their loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of sadness, a lot of heaviness. And I'm really grateful for that. Kia's right. Do your research. Like, you know, I am one of those people who was leery.
And I was too. Don't make no mistake.
Know, not saying I'm still not. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't know the long-term effects. And that's just all honesty. I've done my research. I've done my reading. I am going to get vaccinated because I'm asthmatic. And so in order to, try to protect my grandparents all got vaccinated. I think my parents might have gotten theirs or they're about to. But you know, like, you know, we're ready for some normalcy in this world. So I'm just going to throw it to Spirit and be like, all right, y'all.
Yeah.
Watch over your girl.
That's all I can say. Literally was getting a shot.
It is
like,
very
now, Lord.
Fair.
Okay.
I had to resolve with the fact that I, you know, once upon a time used to get my vaccinations in a public library. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's it. With a line of with a line of 100 other niggas. So I was like, you know, I've survived. Yes. I think worse conditions. Science has come so far. Absolutely. Since 1989. And, you know, or whenever I had to give. I don't even know when that shit started. So I, you know, I'll be all right. And I think it's okay to acknowledge the fact that you may feel hesitant or not fully comfortable. I think that's okay.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You make a sound decision for yourself. And it's okay for people to feel hesitant and still do what they need to do. We're all human beings.
Yeah.
We don't know how this shit works. I'm not a fucking doctor, scientist. I know what I know from history. And I also know that there are a number of Black doctors that have been on the teams that have done the research.
Absolutely.
I'm really, that is one thing that did make me comfortable and, you know, not a rack of Ben Carson's either.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's been a lot of research and people are like, oh, well, it happened so fast. We'll look at technology. An app can come out in a day. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just many variables that I had to look into that helped me to make that decision. But you do what's best for you. And I'm happy for you, sis.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm happy for you.
Hopefully I can come to New York soon now. So hopefully I can
I
come
know.
To New York soon. I haven't seen you Blacks in Ooh. Over a year either.
We haven't seen we Blacks in over a year. I haven't seen Dustin. I haven't seen Fury. I haven't seen Tay. I haven't seen anybody. I haven't seen any of them. I've only seen the girls.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll just be nice to get back to some level of normalcy and some level of like human interaction, you know, without just this impending doom and fear.
Yes.
Of what could be. I, you know, that's not normal for us as human beings. So I love that for you. I love that for us.
For sure.
I took an entire day. I don't know the last, I've taken, you know, days where I've taken a little time or whatever, mm-hmm. but I said, I'm going to make a concerted effort to wake up when I want to take a shower and just binge something literally all day. Like, I don't have to obligate myself not to one email, not to wash one dish, not nothing.
Period.
And I took all of Saturday, woke up, took a shower, made a pallet on the couch and binge Snowfall with Tristan all day. And it was incredible. At first I felt antsy and I realized I was like, bitch, you don't know how to relax.
Yeah.
So I had to meditate and say lean into it. And once I leaned into actually like resting my mind and my body, it was everything I needed. So that was my Black woman self-care this week.
Yeah, I'm actually working. I was talking to Crystal about that earlier today, about like how I you know, I will say that I'm resting, but then, you know, after I have, quote, rested, I will shame myself for the rest, right? So it's like thinking about what it really means to actually integrate time for rest mm-hmm. and reset into my daily schedule, recognizing that it's mm-hmm. very much a part of my process of productivity. It's not something that I get to do, but it is something that I absolutely have to do in order to be my best self. And that is a lot of the self-work I was talking about earlier, you know, me sort of like unlearning some of these unhealthy patterns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And structuring my life with with people who will support me taking care of myself mm-hmm. in these ways, as opposed to just, you know,
absolutely.
Reminding me that I have to take care of myself financially. And as such, I need to work and burn the candle at both ends. But do what you
Not
need to do. Yeah. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, recognize that that's going to look different for everyone. And it's going to require you to do some intentional work to really know what your needs are and know how to meet them. So Black women self-care. Hooray.
That's what we need. Ooh, let's go be petty.
Okay, let's do it.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
Oh, so my petty peeve this week. Wow, did it just go away that fast?
Oh man, you just had it.
I literally just fucking had it.
Yikes.
Wait a minute. How the hell did that happen?
Oh my gosh, you're so old.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, okay, I got it. Oh my God. Give me another countdown.
Oh wait. Okay. Okay, you can start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, my petty peeve this week is for New York landlords, management companies, what have you. So when the pandemic started, they implemented a freeze where they are not allowed to increase your rent, even if you had to renew your lease for, I think it was a 1-year lease or in the first year of a 2-year lease, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that started in October of 2020 and is still going forward. Well, I got my lease renewal, you know, with the required additional security deposit and signed everything, sent it off or whatever. Didn't even know about this until a little bit later when I was talking to a friend who was like, wait a minute. I remember doing some research and nope, found it and showed me where it is. It was illegal for them to do that during the time. So now I'm battling with them. It's not me needing that security deposit back. It's the principal. It's the fact that you all knew that this was the case and still tried to take advantage of me as a tenant and, you know, my own ignorance or my, you know, not knowing my full rights or what have you. So it's for New York City landlords and management companies who like to complain about how butthurt they were during this fucking pandemic and how, I'm not going to, you know, people still need to pay their rent even though they're not working. Kiss my ass, because you all don't care about anybody's well-being, even though you're always going to make your money. Kiss my ass. And the fact that you sit up here and tried to dupe me, knowing I didn't know. If I didn't have that person pop up in my life and tell me that on that phone call, like, oh, wait a minute, sis, this is where these changes came into effect. They owe you that deposit back and you need to report them to the renter's board. So that's what I'm doing. I'm working on reporting some white people snitching this good March. What's your petty peeve?
Similarly, I think that... So one of the things that I noticed in sort of like navigating my vaccine experience is that here in the state of Maryland, you know, the website, like you have to sign up for an appointment via this website. And the website has not been like, it's not really updated all that regularly in terms of information. So, you know, and it's not accessible, in the ways that I think are necessary for the, you know, older people. Right. And so you have to navigate this really long and cumbersome application process. And if you are not like really computer savvy, I can really see it being a struggle for you. And even when I was assisting my mom and getting my grandparents set up and even getting my mom set up, you know, the way in which that we're going about making citizens aware of the vaccine, and, you know, walking folks through this application process, this appointment process, you know, I feel like it's very cumbersome and I think it could be streamlined a lot more to make it easier for, you know, our, you know, senior citizens, especially to gain access to the information that they need in order to get, you know, this vaccine. In the short time that I was there at my vaccination site, I saw at least 10 older people turned away because they didn't have the proper paperwork. They didn't have, you know, something. They were missing something that if the information was clearer and more accessible on the website, I think it would have avoided a lot of that confusion. And so I don't know who is in charge. And this is not so much it is a complaint, I guess, but it is not, I understand that this is really hard and no one's ever had to do this before. I just feel like we can probably have more efficient systems for handling this. because, you know, I think it doesn't have to be this hard. And I really feel bad. Mm-hmm. There was an older gentleman who was before me. And, you know, just, you know, old. I'm think picture your, like, and I know my grandfather, like, you know, was probably in a similar situation, right? Of course he's there. And older Black men, you know, they wear button-down shirts with cuffs and stuff and you know, jackets. So he had to take off all his clothes to take to get so he can actually get the shot. And then, you know, you have to walk around. There's a place where you have to sit and wait. And then you have to, you're supposed to, they give you a QR code that you take a picture of so mm-hmm. you can sign up for your next appointment. And I'm like, that man don't know nothing about no QR code.
Now why would you do that?
And I'm like, why would you do that to somebody's grandparents? You know what I'm saying? And I felt bad because I'm trying to maintain distance, but let him know that I would help him if, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you want me to do it? Blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until another young lady who was working there recognized what was going on, was able to kind of help him and walk him through the process.
Good.
But I just feel like, you know, we are set. There's older people who don't have, you know, the kind of know-how to navigate these things. And I know the technology is there and it's convenient for those of us who know how to use it. But for those of us who do not know how to use it, it can be an obstacle. It can be a barrier, which can keep the people who need the vaccine the most from getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is mm-hmm. what kind of hurt my heart to see. And I was thinking, like, what are ways that we can kind of help? Are there ways that we can... I was checking in, you know, my mama calling my aunts and stuff and making sure, do y'all know how to get to the vaccine place? Do you have everything? Send me the website so I can make sure you have everything. Like, you know, I have to, let me see, show me what you've got. Okay, do you have this? Okay, no, you don't need that. Okay, because my mama was going in there with her insurance cards and I'm like, girl, you need your license. Okay,
mm-hmm.
not your insurance card. They're not going to charge your insurance. You know, because I mean, I said, at least in Maryland, I know they weren't, you know, they weren't charging. You sign up, you get the shot, period. And so you can have your insurance card, but they need your license and other things to confirm your eligibility. And that was the barrier. Mm-hmm. So like people are like, I don't live in this county, but I work in this county and I have my ID, my license, but I don't have my job ID mm-hmm. that says that I work in this county. And so I now have to go back home and get it and come back. So it's just too much. And this is just a complicated thing.
Too much.
But yeah, that's my petty peeve. We got
to
figure this out.
Stop doing it to people's grandparents.
Yeah, we got
to. My grandma don't know how to use Uber Eats.
You know what I'm saying?
You think she knows how to scan a QR code?
Are you kidding me? He's like, ask the man, do you have a smartphone? He was like, I think. Yes, you have a smartphone. And she was like, okay, open your camera and scan this. And he was looking at her like, I'm not finna do that. I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
And I was like, somebody please help me help him. But I can't be all up on him. I couldn't be. I had to maintain social distance. It was just hard. It was hard to see. But that's my petty peeve, man.
See, this is why people need the damn vaccine. You can't even help the elderly anymore.
This is what I'm saying.
Days.
Like, I'm trying to be nice. You're
afraid to get close to them.
Help somebody. But, you know, I had to stay 8 feet away, like yelling across. Okay, so what you got to do next? Through my mask, right? It's just so hard.
So it sounds like
exactly. And that's another thing. That's another petty peeve I have. I'm so tired of screaming behind this mask. And can't nobody understand me.
I know.
I'm like trying to hold. Like what? I don't know what you're saying.
We all sound like those whenever you're trying to hide the identity of people on the crime shows and be like, I was cool down the street.
Like, I don't know what you're saying. How can I hear?
Oh man, I'm ready for the world to return.
I mean, it may Herd not immunity. Return to normal like we know it,
it
but
won't.
It's got to be
no.
There's got to be ways that are easier than this. Please, God.
Oh, masks forever for me in public.
Yeah.
Let's just be clear. Masks forever. We are going inside. It's masks forever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll see what happens, friends. Keep us posted on your roaring 20s returns as the world starts to see what's going on. And that is another episode of Getting Grown.
For sure.
Thank you all so much for coming and sitting at the kitchen table with us. If you listen this week and you're not a Black woman, I hope that you made a list of everything that you love about Black women. And say thank you to the Black women in your life for being in your life and for being alive. Sis, tell them what else to do.
Yeah, man. You want to continue to moisturize your skin because if not, we're going to age like those other people. You also want to make sure that you are minding your business, okay? Because it is yours, okay? Yearn. It is the one. It is the business that you are responsible for. And then you want to drink your water because your black will crack if it's dry.
Bye.
Bye.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.